This is the Slackerwood podcast recording on September 4th. This will probably be out there September 8th or so of the year 2008. I'm Chris Holland.
And I'm Jet Kernion.
And we got lots to talk about this week, including Fantastic Fest, which is right around the corner. But we're going to get some news out of the way first. What do you got for us, Jet?
Oh, I have a list. I'm so organized this time. The big news is... Well, one of the big news is that Austin Film Festival has started rolling out its lineup. Not the films yet, but the guest speakers. We just heard that Greg Daniels will be there and getting an award. Greg Daniels, you may remember some of his writing and producing from King of the Hill and The Simpsons, which is not really movie stuff, but who cares because it's funny.
He is also involved in The Office, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
I would believe that. See, yeah. I'm behind. I'm still on King of the Hill.
Yeah,
I know Sam Shepard's getting an award there too. That's probably older news, but it's still worth repeating. And Tim Kring.
Yep, Tim Kring, K-R-I-N-G, basically the creator of Heroes, is going to be there for all you genre nuts out there. They've got a pretty decent lineup when it comes to the genre stuff this year. So he's going to be part of the Screenwriters Conference, which takes place the first 4 days of the festival.
And we should be expecting to hear more about their movies soon. I know their programmer, Kelly Williams, has really got really excited about movies that he wouldn't tell me what they were. I do know that they are changing their venues around a bit this year, and one of the venues will be the Alamo Ritz.
Yes, indeed. They're going to be at the Ritz this year.
Yeah, you can have a nice alcoholic beverage.
I'm super excited about that, I really got to say.
Yeah, now you know what we like about watching movies. Other news, I was at the green carpet last night.
Oh,
which
right.
Might be last night by the time you hear this, for Matthew McConaughey and Surfer Dude.
I'm not doing my McConaughey impression this time. Nope. You have to go back to the last episode if you want to hear that.
There are photos there are actually a couple photos on Cinematical, but some photos should be on Slackerwood soon.
Did he make you swoon?
I didn't get that close to him. We were on the end, and the online press kind of got,
Isn't that always the way?
He was in a hurry. He did the TV, and then he rushed out. But I got a few pictures of him and Woody Harrelson and various other cast and crew. Nice. He was also at UT this afternoon.
Really?
A bunch of people from my office came running in the middle of a meeting and said, Matthew McConaughey is downstairs! And went running back out again. So if you were on the UT campus this week and you saw a big knot of screaming co-eds, that was Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. So. You don't know what class he was there for. Whose class?
He was being interviewed by a TV crew by the union.
Interesting.
So I don't know if he did any actual UT stuff or
not. Gotcha.
We also saw Richard Linklater last night, probably right before he goes to Toronto. Even as you're listening to this, his film, Me and Orson Welles, will be premiering at Toronto.
I'm not jealous of anyone in Toronto right now.
No, they got better weather.
No, yeah. Maybe the weather's the only thing that I'm jealous of.
So, yeah. All right. A lot of those Toronto films will be at Toronto After Dark films will be at Fantastic Fest anyway, I believe.
That's true. Toronto After Dark is actually a different festival from Toronto's Midnight Madness stuff.
Oh, there you go.
Two different festivals. Toronto After Dark actually, I think, takes place about a month after Fantastic Fest, but they do share some programming. And that's a natural segue into tonight's topic, which is indeed Fantastic Fest, one of the most highly anticipated, if not the most highly anticipated festival by some of our listeners in Austin each year. And we're going to have a little talk with our guest tonight,
Our guest is
Zachariah Carlson. Hey, Zach, how you doing?
I'm real good. How are you guys? I know that earlier you were kind of discussing one of the things that's going to start off the festival, so if you wanted to... mention that.
Yeah,
let's start off with the
opening night film. Get that out of the way, and then we talk about the cool genre stuff. Not that the opening night film is not cool. It is Zach and Mary Make a Porno. Did I get that title right?
You did.
Yes.
No relation.
Let's see, we have a Zach here, so I've
not my porno.
Zach and Miri make
your porno.
Your porno
is way better. Yeah.
This is Kevin Smith's latest film.
And it's not a View Askew film.
It's not a View Askew film. I did not. No,
it's
not,
an,
is it?
It's not an Askewniverse film, at any rate. It does not take place in the reality of Jay and Silent Bob.
I have not watched the trailer yet. I heard John Pearson say it was just as delightfully offensive as the as Kevin Smith's other films. That's not a direct quote. That's
I hope so. I you know, a lot of people gave Jersey Girl, you know, some well-earned flack. But I always think it's nice when somebody, you know, gets outside of their comfort zone and starts doing something not that everyone expects them to do. So I'm really looking forward to seeing something that's not about Jersey or at least that set of Jersey characters.
That crowd. The film will be playing opening night, which is Thursday the
18th. My birthday.
Oh, well, no wonder you would remember.
Yeah.
It is, and as another change for Fantastic Fest this year, it is at the Paramount, which does mean that you have to, you know, the parking's not as good, and you can't eat while you're watching the movie. But on the other hand, if you are not going to Fantastic Fest, there are probably tickets still available. There will be 1,200 people watching this movie, which is just a fabulous way to watch a movie like this.
Yeah.
So, and Kevin Smith will be there. His own
self. Zach, why don't you tell us a little bit about the thinking of getting the Paramount instead of doing it at the Alamo?
Well, obviously, you know, when we found out that Kevin Smith himself was going to be present, we had to figure out the best way to have every person who's bought a badge in, you know, get into the theater, because, frankly, that type of show is going to appeal to more nerds than, you know, Comic-Con, practically. So we... I think it was Tim who made the move, Tim League, founder of Fantastic Fest, to go ahead and use the Paramount, which we had never done before with Fantastic Fest. We're now in our fourth year, but there's been other opportunities with large films, and this is the first time we actually made that leap. One thing that kind of threw a wrench in it for a bit was that we, in addition to the Zach and Mary Make a Porno screening, we're also having the finals for the Air Sex competition, which is something that we do at the Alamo regularly throughout the year. It's like air guitar, but people pretending to have sex with invisible partners.
The videos from this are on the Alamo site, and they are hilarious.
And, thanks. But, we also, so we convinced Kevin Smith to kind of sit in and act as a deputy judge for the air sex competitions, and he, you know, agreed to do it, but apparently after they'd already let us use the theater for the film premiere, the Paramount wasn't too excited when they saw online that we were going to also be having air sex in their theater. So we had to work that out as well. But now it is truly a double bill of porno and air sex at the Paramount. So we're really, I think, throwing some mud on the street cred of a respectable and beautiful historic theater in downtown Austin. But we will clean up any mess we make, I guarantee.
I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well, you know, your description of Tim as the co-founder of Fantastic Fest made me think maybe we should step back a little bit for those people listening who aren't intimately familiar with the Austin festival scene and talk a little bit about Fantastic Fest, what it is, how long is it, what kind of films are you going to show? Start from there.
Well, I guess 4 years back now, the lead programmer at the Alamo was a woman named Kayla Janice, and she had been doing an ongoing film festival that really concentrated on mostly horror and then just kind of generally genre stuff. And that was called Cine Muerte. And that had been happening up in Canada. And through that, and through discussions, of course, with Tim and Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool, and you know, other people who I don't think work with the fest as much as they used to, but there's a group of people that realized that type of thing is not only really exciting, but could, you know, actually really find a home in Austin, because there really wasn't any sort of genre, much less horror festival, going on here in town. So they gave it a go, and it worked out apparently really well the first year, and then has just incrementally exploded since then to become, I mean, you've been there for all of them, yep. Right?
I've been there for every one.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of film festivals I can say that about.
And has it had just this massive kind of expansion and scope and attendance and everything each year? Because I missed the first year. I wasn't here.
It has. The first year they didn't have secret screenings. pretty much get into whatever you needed to get into.
Yeah, I think there was less anticipation about, you know, less knowledge of what to expect. But then from the first year to the second year, it was just like, whoa, this is getting really big. And, you know, Variety, I think it was Variety, put it on their top 10 list of festivals we love. Was that?
Yeah, that was a shocker.
Charlie Kuhn's Variety at the Film Festival Summit was just like, yeah, Fantastic Fest. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's come a long way in a very, very short period of time, especially as festivals go.
And, you know, it's also a lot of festivals are coming back, you know, into the world of the Alamo when we didn't expect it. We're doing the Austin Asian American Film Festival is happening, and now we've joined with AGLIF to do their festival. And South by Southwest, of course, is still there. So it's really becoming, you know, like, it's funny because we're having all these festivals in the same place and through the same theater, but we also feel like this sort of, you know, brotherly competition that, like, we have to, you know, we have to show as good of a time to the audience as all these other festivals do, if at all possible. And it's really kind of exciting to have this camaraderie and everything with all these other festivals and be doing our own as well. So
it's actually really nice to see. I mean, there are a lot of different film camps in Austin, and it would be very easy for them to all go their separate ways and do their own thing. But when they get together, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, they're all holding hands and singing in a circle.
Yes, and sharing Cokes. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, you know, basically now, Tim, you know, was one of many people that was kind of spearheading programming and reaching out stuff, and we had Matt Dentler from South by Southwest, and I don't want to say all the names and then miss one, but we, you know, there's several people, and now it's this. Tim has become so obsessed with making this festival like this kind of adrenalized, like, adventure, right?
It's the William Castle of Austin.
Yeah, he's really he works on it year round now.
Yeah,
I mean, just constantly thinking about it, constantly trying to find, you know, exciting films that other festivals might not even want to touch because of their, you know, objectionable content and stuff. And he just embraces that, and it's just really kind of dragging everything he can from all corners of the world into the festival. And so it's crazy. It's a lot of work for all of us, but it's really, really been fun. So that's where it's at now.
So one of the highlights for last year's festival for me actually was an impromptu screening at the smaller theater, the Ritz. There must have been like 30 or 40 people there that Tim just decided we're going to show a movie at the Ritz. But now the Ritz is actually open and going to be an official part of the festival. What kind of stuff are you going to be showing there?
Well, it's funny. The reason that the Ritz is now involved in the fold is not to expand the festival per se. We, you know, up until now and with the Paramount and everything, we've always just had the festival take place pretty much entirely at the one location. The original Alamo has three different theaters, but we thought it would be really convenient for the audience, rather than rush around like you have to for so many festivals, to just be able to kind of hop from one theater to another. And that really saved a lot of, you know, just a lot of hustling around and a lot of missing shows, you know, potentially. But we realized that at the Ritz, now that we have the downtown theater reopened, rather than incorporate that as a screening space for the festival, we're just going to keep showing this type of stuff that we show all year round there, but let people from the festival go there and check it out for free, you know, along with their badge. It's kind of part of purchasing their badge. So we're not adding any shows that we wouldn't have had anyway, but we're just kind of tailoring what we're doing at the Ritz to be accessible to Fantastic Fest, you know, goers anyway. But what that is like, you know, we have our exploitation movie series every week is Weird Wednesday, and that is going to tie in thematically with what's going on at the festival, same with Terror Thursday, and our, you know, we have a quote along thing. Normally that would be some kind of like 80s party movie or something. In this case, it's Evil Dead 2.
Nice.
Which is still an 80s party movie, but also appeals, you know, to the nostalgia of the festgoers in theory. What we're tying in at the Ritz with the Fantastic Fest stuff is we're doing a repertory series called Not Quite Hollywood at Fantastic Fest, and that's kind of based on a documentary of the same name. It's all about this great kind of untapped era, at least by American audiences, of Australian exploitation films.
Oh, yeah.
So there's this documentary that came out, and it's just largely like 70-year-old Australian men laughing their ass off at how they got away with all these incredible like horror and sexploitation films in the 70s and 80s that are just like ungodly violent, like no socially redeeming value. And Australia was just completely down for it, and their censors were way more lax. And so the documentaries come out that's just kind of showcasing these incredible filmmakers and these ridiculous movies. And it's just these old men just sitting in the back of a dusty bar, like talking about how they made somebody's head blow up for a film. And it's just a great documentary. So Lars, who does Weird Wednesday, and I for Terror Thursday decided to just showcase these actual films that are talked about in that documentary and bring in the directors. We've got, you know, Australian directors coming in. We have these rare prints from Australian archives of just these kind of sleazy, trashy masterpieces. And that's part of what's going on at the Ritz. So, yeah, in that way, we're just trying to tie everything together, but still leave it loose enough where you don't have to feel like you're walking into somebody else's party if you just want to go see a show at the Ritz. You know, Weird Wednesday, Terror Thursday are still free to the public, and they're still, you know, part of what the Alamo does all year round. But now it's just got a little link to the festival.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's more to go to than ever.
Yes, there is.
And, but also simultaneously more people interested in going to all this stuff than ever. And I know there were a few sort of hiccups in the way badges worked last year and that sort of thing. Can you talk a little bit about those problems and what's been done to correct them?
Well, what happened last year was so many people would want to see these secret screenings and whatnot that we would just basically have people lining up like 3 hours early because they didn't have the VIP badge or whatever, and they really wanted to see these shows. So what we're trying to do this year is make it possible for as many people as we can get in to get in, and that's what we want to do. So there are the people who bought their VIP badges, and of course they're going to get in first. And then we're going to try to set it up so some people check in earlier and then can come back, and other people can start lining up, and basically we'll know if there's even a shot for, you know, every person that wants to get in to get in. And this way you won't have situations where people wait 4 hours to see a secret screening and then are turned away after waiting. We're trying to eliminate that altogether to make it accessible. Or even if you can't get in, at least you know beforehand. And, of course, there's always two other movies at least playing at the same time for you to watch that might even be better than, you know, some big-budget Hollywood film that is secretly debuting. I mean, you know, there's always that variety there, which is another reason why we're adding the Ritz stuff, too.
I know at least one person who may have regretted going to a secret screening once instead of saying, Funky Forest, we won't mention any names.
He might be in this room. But no, that sounds great. I would applaud, except that it would sound weird.
So, specifics on movies for Fantastic Fest.
Well, actually, since we just mentioned the secret screening line that you waited in, I mean, that somebody waited in, should we talk about the secret screenings a little bit and then go into
the... Are you going to tell us what the secret screenings are?
No, I won't. But we do have secret screenings, and in the past, because of Ain't It Cool News' involvement, people started to assume, like, oh, we're going to see Iron Man 6 or whatever. They just started getting in their heads that they're going to be seeing the biggest genre-slash-geek-appeal films. And last year, what we realized was really fun to do is throw in a movie like, did you guys see Big Man Japan?
I missed Big Man Japan because we actually tried to see it at Alamo South, and it was sold out. And it's very sad.
It's amazing.
It's this great film that a huge crowd of, you know, of people really in the U.S. would not have lined up to see if they didn't think they were maybe going to see something more popular. But they ended up loving it. The audience went crazy for it. So sometimes it's fun to premiere a huge film like we did with There Will Be Blood, you know, and that was kind of a secret screening. And sometimes it's fun to premiere a film that people wouldn't have seen otherwise, but you have this excitement because no one knows what it is. And as long as we know that that film is great and that the audience is going to be exposed to something they might not have watched otherwise but will love, that's just as valuable. This year we are working on a couple of really major ones that I am not allowed to talk about. But we're also going to throw a couple secret screenings in that might be, you know, by almost unknown filmmakers, but we realize that these are really important films that are really going to build a reputation. And for whatever reason, we weren't allowed to announce their name beforehand, but, I mean, nobody's going to go there. And I really think no one's going to go there and be disappointed by a secret screening, whether or not it's like a major studio title or something completely bizarre from Fiji.
Great.
That just makes it even harder to decide whether you're going to secret screening.
I got Persepolis in a secret screening last year, and I really enjoyed that. I mean, it was something I could have seen in a few more months and stuff, but it was just nice to have that that there, especially because I'm the one who goes to Fantastic Fest and doesn't watch the excessively gory films. So, you know.
What's the fun of that?
Well, let me just say, the excessively gory films are fine because they're cartoony. It's the ones that are really real, and I have to watch them with my hand over my eyes peeking, and Scott Weinberg makes fun of me, and so does everybody else, and you can now too, so.
Yeah, I mean, going to Fantastic Fest without liking gore is like going to a buffet without liking meat.
Well, there are so many vegetarian options, though. Fantastic Fest has all these great animated films. And
that's true. That's
and
true.
Horror comedies, which are my favorite type of horror films, and other just bizarre movies that are so much fun to watch.
I think I'm just the gore guy, but it is true that Fantastic Fest has a ton of variety, more so this year than ever. In fact, we're going to be doing a screening of this movie, Terra, that is a computer animated kids film that's just really, you know, an intelligently written movie that doesn't have like obvious nods towards current environmental issues or whatever, like so many kids movies do. It's just this really well done film, and like that, your celebrity voices that you always have in a CGI kids film are like David Cross and people like that who aren't really known for their Disney collaborations. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing something, and then we're going to try to market this to our kids club people who come to the Alamo Kids Club. And to think of a Fantastic Fest movie that's being sent out to invite little children to, it's in itself kind of a step forward, because normally, you know, it's Tokyo Gore Police and, you know, stuff like that isn't really, you know, it's unusual for the festival's identity to be incorporating direct children's programming, you know, entertainment. So I think that's really exciting. We're doing all kinds of different stuff. We were talking earlier before the show about how some people griped when we showed There Will Be Blood, which is this major premiere, but they said, oh, there's no monsters or spaceships in that. What is Fantastic Fest doing showing that? But the fact is, it was a great screening. It's a great film. Everybody had this amazing time. And so we're never going to go outside the parameters that we've set as far as what Fantastic Fest means, but we are going to have as much variety as possible.
Great.
Nice.
Plus, I thought there was a monster in There Will Be Blood.
That is true. I guess that's it.
Let's not stretch things.
Right. Then we should be premiering the new Oliver Stone film this year.
W.
Yeah.
I think there might be another festival in town that has its eyes on that premiere, but we'll see.
Egglef's not showing that.
Moving on.
All right.
So, shorts. I love short films.
You do?
Just like I love short people.
Oh.
But that's a personal thing. What are some of your favorite short films showing this year?
Well, Tim kind of passed the shorts selection baton to me this year. Finding shorts is really a difficult job because you're basically contacting festivals and filmmakers in languages that, you know, you or they don't speak, and trying your best to, you know, coordinate. It's not like getting a screener of a film from, you know, even an independent studio. And last year, Tim realized that he really wanted to make the shorts stronger, and it's a difficult thing to do, you know, to do that unless you're really concentrating on it. So this year, we've got more shorts. I think the shorts are a much higher quality. We've watched like over 500 screeners, and we've got 45 shorts out of those that we like hunted down based on their reputation at other festivals and filmmakers that we'd seen stuff by before. And I think it's a really strong selection. Also, for the first time this year, we have two shorts programs that are going to be ongoing throughout, you know, all the future Fantastic Fests. One is an animated shorts program, but our definition of animation is a little bit different maybe than some other ones. We actually have a lot of live action animation stuff, which you just kind of have to see. It's stop motion, but using humans. We've got, this seems to be kind of in a growing genre now, is live action stop motion. So we have three films like that, but they're all unique and they're all really beautifully done and hilarious. Our other shorts program, besides the animated shorts one, is called Short Fuse. And that's the one that you probably shouldn't go to. Because
short films, it doesn't bother me as much. Okay. I watched all the shorts last year, including the one that Blake said was the most disgusting short he'd ever seen.
Gary's Touch.
And, you know, it's over in a few minutes, so that's okay. I guess it's mine. I don't know. Somehow gory shorts are okay.
This year, we realized that we had so many offensive shorts that it was kind of seemed like we were predisposed towards selecting a short if it made us queasy. And so we thought, rather than put all of the shorts before, you know, somebody's feature film that they're there to present, you know, in case that makes the director of the future vomit. We just thought we might condense them and have this completely, like, you know, vein-burstingly aggressive onslaught of
gross-out session.
Not necessarily all gross stuff, but just stuff that is either, like, shocking or nauseating or just really severe in whatever regard. And it's not all gore. But it's just all the shorts that kind of make your eyebrows raise and you push yourself against the back of your seat for whatever reason. And that's the Short Fuse program, which I'm really excited about. I think there's some really solid stuff in there. So those are the shorts. Individually, there's some shorts I think that really stand out that are brilliant. There's one that's playing before the anthology film Tokyo. And there's a short before that called Stag Man. And it's just about a guy who's born with a face like a stag, or kind of a goatish face, somewhat. Nah, it's just about this guy's terrible life having a stag face. And for whatever reason, it's one of the greatest shorts I've seen in a really long time. It's just beautiful. And it's by a Belgian director named Virginie Gourmel. And that one is probably right now, that's probably my favorite short. And one of those live-action stop-motion ones called Karaoke Show, which is hilarious. I want to get that short tattooed on the inside of my eyes and watch it.
You have to have karaoke at Fantastic Fest one way or another.
You know who we are. You know we are. Yeah. Fantastic Fest hearts karaoke real bad. We love it. We love karaoke that is real bad as well as real good. We're doing it for the second time. We are doing the Fantastic Feud, which is a game show. Were you guys there for that?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, right. I kind of fell asleep and didn't go, and Scott Weinberg has told me that I will be in deep, dark trouble if I don't go this year, because he's hosting it again, I think.
He is. Fantastic Feud is basically a game show for nerds to participate in, to view, to throw tomatoes at us. It's Scott Weinberg, noted film critic, is the host, and it's just going to be these two teams of filmmakers and film nerds and journalists pitted against one another in horror trivia, but not in an exclusive snooty way, but rather just like really lowbrow, aggressive, fun insanity. And last year got completely out of hand. The teams were threatening each other's lives. There was beer on the floor and the audience was laughing. It was actually one of the highest rated events or screenings at the festival on B-Side. You know, users can vote for their favorite films and it had 5 stars. Everybody said it was the greatest event, which was ridiculous because we had no idea how it was going to go. And it degenerated into a karaoke party like nothing on Earth. It was like this Old Testament insanity karaoke with, again, just like bottles flying and Tim League almost breaking his neck, falling off of a podium while dancing on top of it. And we're doing that again this year. We're bringing back Fantastic Feud and we're going to have the karaoke party, but it's going to be totally over the top. I can't give away secrets. That is a Sunday night, I believe.
Sunday night? Yes. This is why I'm taking the week off of work. So
yeah,
I'm not going to fall asleep this time. I promise.
Pretty much have to.
That's the party of the fest as far as I'm concerned. I mean, opening nights and closing nights are great, and that is traditionally where the festival parties really go down. But as for my money, Fantastic Feud / Karaoke Party is the wildest and most exciting nerd event of the year.
You heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it. What do you think?
I think it's awesome. I actually get blown away by the Fantastic Feud part of it. Like, watching these guys, I mean, you know, I know a little something about movies, but Matt Kiernan, who's the sponsorship director this year, was a contestant last year and named the directors of every shitty horror franchise that was thrown at him. You know, House movies or the Friday the 13th movies. He just like bang, bang, bang. He knew all of those directors. It was incredible to watch.
I watched the video, which is like not at all the same as being there, but it made me realize, I'm not going to be on a team. I have to sit in the audience because I could never.
I don't have that kind of recall. Absolutely not. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a blast again this year. I assume that badges for 09 will go on sale during the 08 Fest.
Yeah. That's something to watch for. Last year, during the 07 Fantastic Fest, the 08 badges went on sale, and the VIP badges, the amount that we had allotted, sold out within 24 hours.
I bought my VIP badge using the crappy wireless in the Alamo South Lamar lobby because everybody kept going, they're selling out now. And I sat there and...
Well, it's only crappy because all of us are using it
at
the same time.
I know. I don't mean to impugn the wireless, Tim. But yeah, it was a little slow at that point because we were all trying to do the same thing.
Any parting words?
Well, actually, I didn't talk about any features, but that's fine. I just want to recommend
okay.
a couple.
Go it's look
okay.
on the website.
The website, fantasticfest.com. You'll be able to find out more than you ever wanted to know about Fantastic Fest.
Yes. All the gory features and all the features that are for... I think I'm the wussiest person at Fantastic Fest.
I'm
but
sure
I still have a good time.
Actually, no. So. Last year at the screening of the film Inside, did you watch that? It was it's a pregnancy horror film, and it's really excessive in some of its moments on screen. And there was a woman who vomited in the theater during Fantastic Fest watching that film, which I thought made it one of the greatest screens of the year.
Wow. I have never had anybody vomit. Well,
that's
not...
awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She wasn't drunk. She's right.
That was going to say that.
But,
all right. Well, thanks for being with us, Zachariah.
Yes,
we'll talk about
you.
That name another time.
Okay.
Fantastic Fest starts on Thursday the 18th on Chris's birthday and runs for a week. And
and you better be there.
And you better be there. Yeah, they're still... I don't know if they're
badges.
There aren't
badges.
Badges left,
are sold
there.
Out.
No,
right?
If you haven't gotten a badge, you've got to get your tickets.
There's second half badges, which you can get.
Oh, cool.
Monday through Thursday, the last 4 days of the 8-day festival, we do have tickets or badges just for those days where you can go and pretty much enjoy everything that's played the first half. So that's kind of what we're telling people about now, because
okay.
it gives you the opportunity to see pretty much everything you want. It's great.
What do we got to wrap up with here, Juliet?
Got to wrap up with a couple of upcoming screenings that I want to tell you about, mostly so that when I listen to this, I'll remember to go to them.
Okay.
while we're still talking about Alamo, Alamo is showing Drunken Master at the Ritz next Tuesday and Wednesday, or this Tuesday and Wednesday by the time you are hearing this, which is the 8th and 9th? No, 9th and 10th. You know, if I would write down
OriginalAlamo.com.
OriginalAlamo.com, because I have a faulty memory.
And it's Legend of the Drunken Master, which is Drunken
Legend
Master 2.
Of Drunken Master 2, thank
this
you.
This is a better one. It's the crazy
it's
one.
The best. See, I've only seen the first one, and I saw it half dubbed and half subtitled.
You're going
to... So I am looking forward to seeing the second one.
Yeah, your head's going to fall off. That would be crazy.
So this is part of the cocktail series, or
yeah, we want to have we serve alcohol now, you know, the heavy kind at the Ritz. So we want to do a cinema cocktail series. We started with respectable stuff like The Thin Man. We realized that we want to also have just crazy stuff. And you know, Jackie Chan is drunk off his ass for the you know majority of that film. And so we just want to really celebrate drunken fisticuffs with that film.
I love drunken fisticuffs, so I mean on film, not in person. Although I guess I could walk out on the 6th Street after and get some drunken fisticuffs
you might get inspired.
Sorry. What else you got for us?
On a slightly more serious note, the Harry Ransom Center has announced their film schedule for fall. They have I'm looking at a fold out thing, so I'm being slow. They have an exhibition called The Mystique of the Archive, which is about various literature collections. And this does tie into film because they will be showing adaptations throughout the fall semester, including Fahrenheit 451 in September.
Which version is that?
That is the 1966 Truffaut version.
Okay,
is
cool.
there another one?
BBC did one.
Michael Bay
is
threatening to remake it.
Michael Bay is threatening to remake
it. That's not out yet.
I think there was one other television version.
In October, they're showing Possession from 2002. It has Gwyneth Paltrow and Aaron Eckhart in it, just like The Dark Knight. But
okay.
Not at all. I'm sorry. In November, we have The Lost Moment from 1947, adapted from the Henry James, the Aspern Papers. And in December... The Name of the Rose from Umberto Eco's novel. These are at Harry Ransom Center. They are free. That theater is not very large. So check out the Harry Ransom Center website, which I do not have the URL from, but which is
Google
easily
it.
Accessible from Google.
No, nobody does URLs anymore. Just Google it.
Google it. Well, it's not even... here we go. Yeah, it's a long URL anyway. You don't want me to read it to you. Go find it. And... check it out.
Just like if you wanted to comment on this podcast, you would go just Google Slackerwood and you'd find it right away.
Yes.
You wouldn't have to know that it was Slackerwood.com.
You wouldn't. And commenting is a great thing that you should do because we don't get nearly enough comments on our podcast.
And with that pathetic plea for feedback, we're going to leave you for another couple of weeks. My name is Chris Holland.
And I'm Jack Kernion.
And we'll see you next time.